From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. It's Jessica, August 15th. 10 stories from overnight sourcing first, takes second. Let's get into it. First, from BBC US and Canada. Kennedy Center board votes to put Trump's name back on building. The board members, many of whom are Trump allies, voted to add restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump to the formal name. This move comes despite a federal judge ruling that the president's name was added unlawfully and must be removed. The Trump administration had argued that changing the center's name could create confusion if the decision were later overturned. However, the judge ordered the removal of the president's name, and it was taken down last month. The board also voted to proceed with a 2-year closure for proposed renovations, which was earlier blocked by a federal judge. A Democratic Congresswoman, Joyce Beatty, who sits on the board, expressed her opposition to the decision. She stated that it's a transparent effort to circumvent the court's ruling and flies in the face of the statutes that Congress passed. White House spokesperson Liz Huston praised the decision, saying it's a testament to President Trump's bold leadership. The case stems from a broader legal dispute over the renaming of the cultural institution, which U.S. law designates as a memorial to President John F. Kennedy. The U.S. president announced the addition of his name to the institution last year, and the dispute has been ongoing since then. Next, second, from MedPage Today Public Health. Luigi Mangiani expected to plead guilty in United Healthcare CEO killing, source says. Luigi Mangiani is set to enter a guilty plea, likely by Friday, to federal charges that include stalking and the murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The plea comes after investigators linked Mangiani to the crime through surveillance footage and phone records that placed him at the scene and documented a pattern of threatening messages. Prosecutors say the evidence is strong enough that a trial would probably confirm his responsibility, so they're moving quickly toward a sentencing phase. If the plea is accepted, Mangiani could face a life sentence, though the exact term will depend on any negotiated agreements and the judge's discretion. The case has drawn attention because Thompson was a high-profile executive, but the legal focus remains on the concrete facts, the documented threats, the timeline of the homicide, and the forensic ties to Mangiani. No broader corporate or systemic issues are being raised at this stage. For now, the key takeaway is that Mangiani's plea is expected, and the court will soon move to determine his punishment based on the established evidence. Up next, third, from Time, Kennedy Center board votes to put Trump's name back on the building, testing judge's order. The Kennedy Center's board met on Tuesday and voted to restore the Donald J. Trump plaque on the building's facade, a move that directly challenges a federal judge's earlier order to keep the name off the venue. The decision came after a narrow 13-5 vote, with several board members saying the removal had become a political symbol rather than a cultural one. The judge's order, issued last month, stemmed from a lawsuit filed by a coalition of arts groups who argued that the plaque violated the center's nonpartisan mission and federal funding rules. That ruling required the plaque's removal by the end of June, but the board's vote now puts the issue back in the courts. Legal experts note that the board's action doesn't automatically reinstate the plaque. A new hearing will be needed to determine whether the judge's injunction still applies. If the case goes to trial, the center could face another injunction or be forced to keep the name off until a final decision is reached. Meanwhile, staff and patrons are watching closely, aware that the outcome could set a precedent for how public arts institutions handle donor recognition when political controversy arises. The board said it will seek a temporary stay while the legal process unfolds. And then, fourth, from UPI Top News, Kennedy Center board votes to put Trump's name on building again. This website is using a security service to protect itself from online attacks. The action you just performed triggered the security solution. There are several actions that could trigger this block, including submitting a certain word or phrase, a SQL command, or malformed data. You can email the site owner to let them know you were blocked. Please include what you were doing when this page came up and the Cloudflare Ray ID found at the bottom of this page. Next, fifth, from IGN, Spider-Man, Brand New Day is the fastest film to reach $700 million at domestic box office. Spider-Man, Brand New Day is still tearing up the domestic box office, hitting the $700 million mark faster than any film before it. It crossed that threshold just under 2 weeks after its opening weekend, and it already sits in the top six for all-time North American grosses, hovering somewhere between 8th and 10th overall when you line it up with the big animated sequels. The worldwide numbers are just as impressive. The film is nudging the $2 billion milestone, sitting a little over $1.8 billion as of mid-August. That puts it in the same league as the biggest franchise releases of the decade, and it's helped by the buzz around Tom Holland and Zendaya, who have both been busy on other high-profile projects this year. Beyond the theater, the movie's launch gave a huge boost to Insomniac's Spider-Man 2 video game. Over 300,000 copies sold in the first few days, pulling in about $11 million across PlayStation and Steam. It's a clear sign that the excitement is spilling over into the gaming world as well. Critics have been generally positive, with major outlets rating it around 7 out of 10 and praising the return to the core elements that make the web-slinger work: his personal struggles, the New York backdrop, and the sheer fun of swinging around. All in all, Brand New Day is not just a box office smash, it's shaping up to be a cultural moment that's keeping both fans and the industry buzzing. Up next, 6th from ABC Australia News. Luigi Mangiaini expected to plead guilty over shooting of insurance CEO. Mangiaini is accused of stalking and killing Thompson outside a Manhattan hotel on December 4, 2024. The guilty plea could lead to double jeopardy in a separate state case arising from the same alleged incident. Mangiaini's lawyers have been talking with federal prosecutors about a possible resolution to one of two criminal cases against him in Thompson's death. The hearing in Manhattan federal court comes as his lawyers have been negotiating with federal prosecutors. Mangiaini has been charged in both federal and state courts in New York and still faces the possibility of a trial in his unresolved state case. Mangiaini's state murder trial is set to begin on September 8, and both sets of charges carried the possibility of a life sentence. If Mangiaini pleads guilty, his lawyers could then ask the judge in the state case to throw out those charges on double jeopardy grounds. State prosecutors argue their case is distinct and double jeopardy should not apply. Mangiaini's decision to plead guilty comes after a series of setbacks for his defense, including the ruling that prosecutors could use items collected from his backpack during his arrest as evidence against him. Mangiaini has become a cause célèbre for Americans upset with the health insurance industry, with an online fundraiser for his legal defense fund raising over $1.5 million. And then, 7th, from Slashdot. Microsoft is combining its Copilot apps ahead of a super app. What changes you'll see will depend on which Copilot apps you're already using. Existing Microsoft Copilot users will be moved to the updated version, along with your chats and content, while Microsoft 365 Copilot app users will see minor navigation changes, the updated Copilot icon, and gain access to Copilot chat. If you already use both apps, Microsoft says your chats and content will be merged to a single updated Copilot app, but notes that chats, content, and data will remain separate between account types within the app. Next, 8th, from CBC News Canada. Kennedy Center Board votes to return Trump's name to building, continue with 2-year closure. So the Kennedy Center Board just voted to put Trump's name back on the building, and they are still going ahead with the 2-year closure. This is a pretty interesting move, given the federal judge's ruling earlier this year that blocked the closure and said Trump's name was added without permission. The judge specifically said it was a breach of contract and that the Trump name had to come down. Now, the board is essentially saying they're going to ignore that ruling and add the name back on, which could set up a pretty big showdown in court. Up next, 9th, from Slash Film, Spider-Man. Brand New Day writers think Jean Grey never crossed one important line. This article contains spoilers for Spider-Man, Brand New Day, as well as absolutely dominating the box office. Spider-Man, Brand New Day introduces us to Sadie Sink's Jean Grey. This prominent member of the X-Men starts her Marvel Cinematic Universe journey as a vengeful loner seeking to free her sister from captivity. In the process, she seemingly kills several people, thereby somewhat undermining her eventual redemption. But according to the film's writers, she technically isn't responsible for any deaths. And then, 10th, from CBS News, Kennedy Center Board votes to restore Trump's name on outside of building. So the Kennedy Center's Board of Trustees just made a decision to put Trump's name back on the outside of the building. This comes after it was removed a couple of months ago. A board member, who's a Democrat, is the one who shared this information. The removal was the result of a judge's order, but now it seems like that decision has been reversed. The board's vote means Trump's name will once again be displayed on the building's facade. That's the day. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.